the Old Testament book of Ruth, Ruth chapter number 1. Ruth chapter number 1, and I want you to look at verse number 1 and following. Ruth chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1, here we find the wonderful story of Ruth and her kinsman redeemer Boaz. Within these four short chapters of the book of Ruth, we find life starting with hopelessness and despair. And that's the way the book of Ruth starts, with hopelessness and despair. And today, you may be facing a life that seems like it's hopeless and your life is filled with despair, but I'm glad that when you read the last chapter of this book, there is hope. And there is hope in the kinsman redeemer. And I'm glad to tell you today that we, as a child of God, we've got a kinsman redeemer, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the one that purchased us. And thank God He has redeemed us from this world. Ruth chapter number 1. Let's look at verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judea. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they, the two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. There are some key words I want you to notice in this passage. It was in the days of the judges. This man was from Bethlehem. He was a Jewish man of the tribe of Ephraim. He was married, had two boys. Hard times came upon them. They were in the promised land, but they decided to go someplace else, and they left. I want you to notice his intent was he was going to just sojourn in the land of Moab for a short time. But in all actuality, his plans didn't really work out the way he thought they were going to work out. While he was in Moab, he died. And the short sojourn turned into a 10-year stay. It goes on, it says in verse 5, after the sons took the two wives, Moabitish women, it says in verse 6 or verse 5, it says, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Doesn't sound like a very good way to start a book. Here there was a family that was in the middle of a famine. The husband said, hey, let's go and let's go into the land of Moab. He died there, and then his two boys died. It says in verse 6, then she, or Naomi, rose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people, giving them bread. Now wait a minute. They left the land of promise, the land that God gave to them to go out into the world for a while, hoping that the world was going to take care of them. But after all the calamities that took place in their life, they realized that God took care of His people back in the promised land. May I suggest to you today that God is always going to take care of His people when God's people stay where God's people are supposed to stay. And when we stay in the place of God's blessing, and we stay in the place where God will bless, then God is going to end up blessing. But so many times we say, you know what? I think I'm going to go ahead and leave the place that God is blessing. I'm going to leave what God has told me to do, and I'm just going to sojourn in the world a little while. And because we sojourn in the world a while, all of a sudden we reap the results in our life because we want to go ahead and let the world take care of us instead of letting God take care of us. And when we do so, we have a major problem on our hands. I want you to notice now in verse number 19 and following. Here we find Naomi and her daughter-in-laws. Her daughter-in-laws said, you know what, we're not going to leave you. And the one daughter-in-law decided she was going to stay in Moab. The other one by the name of Ruth said, look, your God is going to be my God. Where you lay, I'm going to lay. Where you die, I'm going to die. I'm going to be right there with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to be right there for you. And so Ruth, a Moabitish woman, ended up going back to, or going to a land that she had never been before. She went to the Promised Land, and there she met a man by the name of Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. By the way, Boaz is a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look what it says in verse number 19. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. And the word Mara, the name Mara means bitter. Look at verse 21. This is what Naomi said. She said, don't call me Naomi, which means sweet and pleasant. Call me Mara. I'm bitter. I'm bitter about life. I'm bitter about the way that God has dealt with me. So many times we look at the circumstances instead of seeing the whole picture. You know, I'm glad that God does not give us infinite wisdom to look into the future, because it would mess us up. May I remind you that God does all things after the counsel of His own will? And may I remind you today that God's got a purpose and God's got a plan for everything. And we might take an incident in our life and we might say, you know what? This one little picture of my life looks pretty dark and it looks pretty bleak and it looks pretty hopeless. But I'm here to tell you, when we get to the end of the road and we get to heaven and we see how it all fits in, it's all going to make sense. Now, I want you to notice what Mara said, what Naomi said, verse 21, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. I went out full, and the Lord brought me home again empty. This morning, I'd like to preach you a message entitled The Danger of Sojourning in the World. There is a danger for the child of God if we sojourn in the world. And too many times Christians come to the end of their life and they think, oh, what have I done with my life? How has that affected my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren? And we need to understand that there is a danger in sojourning in the world. May I remind you that with every dark cloud and every storm that comes into a person's life, God has a plan. A plan of triumph and a plan of victory. A plan with purpose and a plan with redemption. And we need to realize that even when we get off course, God has a plan to bring us home again. Amen? God's got a plan to bring us home again. And as I said, this morning I'd like to bring you a message entitled The Danger of Sojourning in the World. But before we can understand the severity of this topic, I'd like to have you do a little background study on this passage. Look at verse 1. I want you to see some things this morning. It says, now it came to pass in the days of the judges. Now, before the children of Israel had kings to rule them, they had judges that would rise up and would decree, this is the way we ought to go. Before the judges, they had people like Moses and Joshua, and then they had a few other individuals that would raise up, and after they died off, then God brought judges to give them direction. But the interesting thing about the book of Judges, the book previous to this, look back at chapter number 17, look at verse number 6. What was the time like? Chapter 17, verse number 6. And I want you to read along with me, verse number 6. Read it with me, please. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. What was the prevalent pattern that took place during that time period? Everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. Well, if it feels good, just do it. Don't worry about it. That was the philosophy of that day. Look at chapter number 21. Look at verse number 25. Now, if God says it once, it's important. But if the same words are reiterated, that tells me that God is putting emphasis upon it. Chapter number 21, look at verse number 25. The last verse in this book of Judges. Say it with me, please. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There was no king. Everybody did whatever they wanted to do. By the way, that only leads to anarchy. So it was Ruth covered a time of the judges. We find that it says that there was a famine in the land. Now, according to Judges chapter number 6, verse number 3 and 4, there was a man by the name of Gideon. And we probably remember the story about Gideon and his clay pots and how that he had victory and had just a handful of soldiers and took care of the enemy. But during Judges chapter number 6, verse 3 and 4, we find that the only time during the judges that they reigned, it was during a time that Gideon reigned, that there was a famine during that time. It was probably during that time, the time when Gideon judged Israel, that this man in Ruth chapter number 1, this man of Bethlehem, Judea, said, let's go to Moab. It was a time, as I said, that everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. And Elimelech and Naomi lived there in Bethlehem, Judea. By the way, that was the birthplace of Jesus Christ. Now, Elimelech decided, look what it says in verse 1. It says that there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn. Now, here's the definition of the word sojourn. I think it's very important that we understand what words mean. Now, some people say, well, the word sojourn means the same as dwelt. Well, just a few verses down, it actually has the word dwelt. It's actually a different word altogether. And the word sojourn, according to my Strong's Concordance, says this. It means to turn aside from the road for a lodging or another purpose. In other words, sojourn as a guest. In other words, if someone is going to sojourn someplace, I'm just going to stop in temporarily and I'm just going to spend the night and I'm going to move on. I'm just going to be there for a short period of time as I'm passing through. Is that what Elimelech decided to do? He said, I'm going to go and sojourn there for a little while, make some money, and come back home. And that was his intent. You know, a lot of times we have good intentions, but they don't turn out exactly the way they're supposed to. And here Elimelech, he had good intentions. I'm going to go there and sojourn. I'm just going to turn aside and I'll be there for just maybe 2 months and I'll come back. I won't stay out in the world very long. And yet he was there for 10 years, his family was. And so many times we have good intentions. We say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead. I'm not going to be in church. I'm not going to do the right thing. I'm going to go ahead. I'm just going to sojourn in the world. I'm going to live there for a while in the world. And boy, I tell you what, it has all kinds of bad repercussions. So he sojourned. And if we want to have the blessings of God, listen, if today if you want to have the blessings of God, we cannot leave the land of promise. We must keep our hands on the plow and we must trust God for the future. Look at Proverbs chapter number 3. Look at verse number 5 and 6. Hold your place there in the book of Ruth and just look at this. Proverbs chapter number 3. Verse number 5 and 6, most of you know this passage. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know what the Bible is saying? Listen, the Bible is saying this. If we will trust God, and we will put God first in all of our life, and in all of our decisions, and we will go ahead and do that, God will take care of us. That's what that verse, those are those verses are saying. Now, I want you to notice also Ruth chapter number 1. Look at verse number 1. So he went to sojourn, just to pass in, stay there for just a short time and be gone. But he went to go to Moab. Now, Moab was the descendants of Lot. Lot was delivered from Sodom. We all know about Sodom and Gomorrah and how that God rained fire and brimstone upon it and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, as they fled, Lot's wife looked back. She turned into a pillar of salt. We all know the story. So there was Lot, and there was his two daughters. Lot ended up getting drunk, and he fathered two grandchildren. The oldest daughter, the son that was born, his name was Moab. Moab came about because of incest. You say, oh, that's horrible, that's wicked. It is. But I'm here to tell you, God can take a bad situation. God can turn it around. And Ruth was a Moabite woman. Some people say that Ruth possibly could have been the daughter of King Eglon. And it's very possible that Boaz was actually one of the judges. His name was actually mentioned in the book of Judges, and it was Ibzan of Bethlehem, Judea. And for short, they called him Boaz. We find that through Ruth, the lineage flows to Jesus Christ. But he went to the land of Moab. Now the interesting thing, according to Numbers chapter 21, verse number 29, Moab, the people of Moab was called this: the children of Chemosh. The Moabites worshipped this false god called Chemosh. Chemosh was this brazen altar that had the head of a dog and outstretched arms. And they would do infant sacrifice to this god. It was, according to history, they say that this big idol was hollow on the inside, and they would build a flame underneath of it, and it would glow red. And they would take the children, and they would sacrifice their firstborn male, and as the drums beat, they would walk up to this platform, and they would toss the baby into the hands of this false idol, and the baby immediately would be consumed in flames. You say, oh, how wicked. It was wicked. Those were the people of Moab. And God said, don't have anything to do with them. Don't give their children. Don't marry them. Don't let your children marry them. Stay away from them. Don't possess their land. I've given that to Lot and his children to possess. But we find that they were called the people of Chemosh. It was the people of Moab of whom Balak was king. And Balak was the one that cursed Israel and tried to hire Balaam to curse Israel. He was a Moabite king. Everything we read about Moab is not good. By the way, Christian, listen to me. You make sure you stay where God will end up blessing you. Don't go to the place where the world will try to take care of you. Oh, they'll take care of you, all right, but the wrong way. Now, I said all that to say this. This is the place that Elimelech went to dwell during times of trouble. He didn't put his faith and trust that God would take care of him in the land of promise, but he said, I'm going to go to the world and let the world take care of me. His sojourning turned into a dwelling of 10 years, according to verse number 4. And we need to understand that if we turn aside and sojourn in the world, it will affect you and it will affect your family for years and years to come. Today, I want to just give you real quickly now, let me give you 6 things. The results of dwelling in the world. The results of sojourning there. Look at verse number 3. If you decide, hey, you know what, I'm done with this Christian stuff. I'm going to sojourn in the world for a while. I'm going to let the world take care of me. Verse number 3 tells me it will affect you personally. It will affect you personally. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her 2 sons. Listen, he had dreams, but they came unfulfilled dreams. He died away from the land of promise. And if we walk away from God, listen, it's going to affect you personally. It'll affect you emotionally. Every aspect of your being. You're going to have all kinds of dreams and hopes and aspirations, but those things are going to fade away as the world takes care of you. You read the story about the prodigal son. Man, he says, you know what? I'm tired of all these rules and regulations. I'm going to do my own thing. And all of a sudden, he found himself feeding swine in a foreign country, eating what the pigs did eat. That's not where he planned to go, but that's where the world always takes us. The world will always, listen, the world will always use you, abuse you, and when they're done with you, they'll lose you. That's the way it'll always happen. Sin will always take you farther than you want to go. It'll always make you stay longer than you want to stay, and it'll always make you pay more than you want to pay. Sin will always hunt you out, find you out, and make you pay. That's what sin always does. And you are no exception to the rule. I'm no exception to the rule. We must stay in the place where God will bless. You say, where is that? In the place of salvation, in the place of His Word, in the church. Amen? We need to go ahead and make sure that we stay where God places us. It will affect you personally. He had unfulfilled dreams. He died away from the promised land. Look at verse number 3. You decide to sojourn in the world for a while. It will affect your family. It will affect your family. Verse 3. And she was left and her 2 sons in a foreign land, miles and miles and miles away from home. And now she's alone. I'm here to tell you, you decide, fellas, to go out and live in the world for a while. It's going to affect your children. It's going to affect your wife. And we're going to end up reaping the results of that. I'm thankful after everything's all said and done, there's a time when she got a chance to come home. Amen? And God took care of her. But I'm here to tell you, we have to live with the effects when we sojourn in the world. Verse number 3, it will affect our family. Look at verse 4. Number 3, it will set the course for your future. When we decide, hey, I'm going to go ahead and do my own thing. I'm going to go my own way. I know I'm saved. I know I'm a child of God. But you know what? No one's going to tell me what to do. The preacher's not going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do my own thing. Listen, you mark it down. It will affect your future when you decide, I'm going to go ahead and sojourn in the world for a while. It will affect you. And it will affect your family. Set the course for their future. Verse 4. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Boy, there's a difference between dwelling and sojourning. Originally, Elimelech, he only had this idea, I'm just going to be there for a short time. I'm just going to sojourn there for just a short time. But you know what? His sojourning turned into dwelling. And it affected his life, it affected his wife, it affected his children, and all of a sudden it changed the course of his whole family. I could tell you story after story of people in the past 30-some years that decided they were saved, they decided, I'm going to sojourn in the world for a while. It might have been for financial reasons, it might have been for personal motives, but I'm going to go ahead and live in the world for a while. Oh, I know I'm saved. And you know what happens? The end result is it affects everybody in their family. It affected her family. Her boys ended up marrying women of Moab. These were idol worshipers. More than likely worshipped Chemosh. That was the god of the Moabites. You say, oh, how wicked. How could anybody ever do that? They did. We need to understand that it'll affect the course. They took them wives of Moab. As I said, Moab was the son of Lot through incest. They dwelt there about 10 years. And during that time, her two boys died. You see, it'll set the course for your future. I told my daughter and son-in-law, don't get too comfortable down in Tennessee. Those grandkids of mine are going to grow up and they're going to fall in love with some hillbilly from Tennessee and probably marry him. That'd be good? I don't know about that. I'd rather have them come back up to Ohio and marry some Buckeye. You say, what's the difference between a Buckeye and a hillbilly? Not a whole lot. Buckeyes are just a bunch of worthless nuts. But you know, where we dwell, that's where our children will find their spouses. They're in a wonderful place down there, and they're in a wonderful church. And I'm glad they're there. But I'm here to tell you, you dwell in the world, and you have your children dwell in the world, more than likely, your children are going to end up marrying people from the world. And your children marry people from the world, they're going to go ahead and bring all those evil practices into your grandchildren's lives. You see, it will set the course for your future. Look at verse number 6. I want you to notice the next thing, that the danger of sojourning. It will cause us to miss the blessings and the power of God. While they were there, all of a sudden, there was problems, and her husband died, and her boys died. And now, all of a sudden, the boys, they had wives. And then they heard, in verse 6, she had heard that from the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. During the time of the judges, probably during the time when Gideon was there, all of a sudden, God took care of His people. Isn't that like the way God always does? I mean, if we allow ourselves to be in the place where God blesses, you just stay there and wait on God, and God will bless. Instead of running in the world and saying, you know what, the world's going to take care of me. No, you just trust God, stay where you're at, and let God take care of you. Amen? And when she heard, as she was in a foreign country, and now she's struggling. She's gone through all of this heartache in her life. And she's saying, you know what? God is blessing them back in Bethlehem. You know what the word Bethlehem means? It means the house of bread. The house of bread. And God is taking care of His people in the promised land. I'm here to tell you, God always takes care of His people. And here, because her husband decided to sojourn, she missed the blessing of seeing how God really worked. Now, I don't know all the details of how God worked, but God took care of them. And I'm here to tell you, you sojourn in the world for a while, you're going to miss out. I had a person come and They hadn't been to the church for years and years. I ran into this individual, and he said, "Well, Pastor, how's things going?" I said, "Everything's going great. Lord's been good to us. We're hoping in a couple of years maybe add a new auditorium. Church is full, seeing people saved." And he says, "Yeah." He says, "I remember when we met over in the old building, over in church in Ottawa." I says, "Things have changed a lot since then. The church has grown since then. We've seen a lot of people saved and baptized since then." The unfortunate thing, he decided to go out into the world and just forget about God. He missed it all. He missed it all. How tragic. And when we get out in the world, we miss the blessings of God. We need to stay where God places us and trust that God will take care of us. Look at verse 20. What happens when we sojourn in a foreign land? What happens when we sojourn in the world? It causes bitterness. She came back home. Naomi came back home, which meant pleasantness. That's what her name meant. Sweetness. And Naomi came back home and they said, "Man, this is Naomi. This is Naomi. She's been gone for 10 years. Where's Elimelech? Oh, your husband died? Where's your two boys? Oh, they died too? All I've got's a daughter-in-law. She's a Moabite woman." By the way, the Jewish people didn't care for the Moabites at all. "You brought a foreigner back here?" You know, racism has gone a long way back. And the Jewish people there of Bethlehem, thankfully, most of them overlooked that stuff. And as a Christian, I think you ought to overlook that stuff. But Naomi said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for I'm bitter, for God has been, He's dealt with me sorely, dealt very bitterly with me." She says, "I've won out full, and the Lord has brought me back home again empty." Listen, you sojourn in the world for a while, and I'll tell you what will happen. Life's going to kick you in the teeth, and then it'll make you bitter. "Why has this happened to me? I don't understand why I'm going through this." "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we all faint not." Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 and following. Listen, we're going to reap what we sow. Now here's the key. Here's the key to success in your Christian life. Sow more good seeds than bad. That's pretty simple. Sow more good seeds. Sow them in good soil. Water them often with your tears. Make sure that you go ahead and constantly you're sowing good seeds. But if we're sowing wrath and bitterness and anger and clamor and selfishness and jealousy and all of those things, we sow those things in our life, you know what's going to happen? We're going to reap the seeds and the harvest of those things in our life. Let's make sure we go ahead and sow the right things. And sow them in the right place. The danger of sojourning in the world is it will cause us to become bitter with life's circumstances. Now look at verse 21. Verse number 21. "I went out full," Naomi said, "and the Lord hath brought me home again." Now just focus on that one part as maybe a little silver lining in this whole thing. The Lord has brought me home again. I'm glad that regardless of how dark the day may be and how dingy the circumstances may be, listen, God can bring you back home again. "Lord, I've wandered far from home. Lord, I'm coming home." Thank God for that. You see, not only will it cause us to be bitter, but it'll cause hopelessness, and it'll cause us to reflect hopelessness of life. She says, you know what? I'm bitter. She says, I was full, and now I'm empty, and now I'm back home. I'm going to close with this story. Over 20 years ago, probably longer ago than that, 24 years ago, I dealt with an old man here in Oak Harbor. He was up in years, and I witnessed to him, come to church, went over to his home, and I said, sir, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. The man was dying of cancer. He was about 80 years old. Tears welled up in his eyes. He said, oh, preacher, I did that about when I was 15 years old. I began to cry. He was known as the town drunk. But in his later years, he decided to come back to God. You know, I'm glad that there's a way home. Amen? I'm glad the Lord can bring us back home. But the effects of sojourning had already set place in his life. He said, preacher, I am so sorry. He said, from the time I was a young man, I decided to go the way of the world. I decided not to live for God. And he said, now my family's lost. I've never taught them about the things of God. I never taught them about salvation. And now my children and my grandchildren, they're all lost. You see, that's the effects of sojourning in the world. And I remember doing that man's funeral. And I remember, and I still have a chance from time to time to see his family and witness to his family. But the effects of sojourning in the world is still affecting his children, his grandchildren, and his great-grandchildren. Listen, stay where God blesses you. Stay in the Word. Stay in church. Stay in prayer. Stay living for God. I've never met anybody that said, you know what, I sure do regret living for God. I have met a lot of people that said, man, I sure have regretted sojourning in the world. Let's make sure, if you are sojourning out in the world, you remember this. The Lord brought her home again. The Lord brought her home again. And if you're out there in the world, the Lord can bring you home again. You say, well, I'm not there, preacher. Thank God you're not. Then you go ahead and you determine, by the grace of God, I'm going to stay in the land of promise. I'm going to stay where God blesses me. I'm going to stay in church. I'm going to stay in the Word. I'm going to stay in prayer. I'm going to stay serving God. And regardless of how difficult the times get, even if there is a famine that takes place, I'm going to go ahead and serve God. Because that's where I know God will take care of me. David said in Psalm 37:25, I have been young, yet now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. They did a survey back during the Depression of 300 individuals. Of these 300 individuals, they asked how many believed in God. Almost everybody back then believed in God. Then they said, how many of you go to church? Only about half of them went to church. Out of the 300 individuals, they said, how many of you tithe? And out of the 300 individuals, zero that stood in the soup lines. Now, I'm not saying you tithe that God's going to keep you out of the soup lines. I'm just going to say this. God's going to take care of you. Amen? You make sure that you put God first in all that you do. Make sure you don't sojourn in the world. It'll take a lot longer than what you think to get out. Serve God where you're at. If you're out there, come back home. Let's have our heads bowed. Every head bowed and every eye closed.